Well, goodness sakes, good morning out there in Radio Land. It's me, Adam Lepp, the computer guy, with my twice weekly radio feature here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial and broadcasting online via the power and magic of the internet at our website, WWGH1071.com. Thank you very much for listening. Always appreciated. You may wonder, what do we do here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show? As it might sound, due to the name of the show, we talk today's top technology topics, as I say. I do like alliteration. It adds to the fun. Discussing maybe the latest and greatest in smartphones or the latest tablets. Perhaps computer security. The government or other entities spying on you, trying to find out exactly what you're doing online, how sports and politics mishmash, intermingle, what have you, as many times in our society, of course, here in 2017. The internet, electronic communication, you know, IT, information technology, has a major influence on almost anything that we do. I'll be joined by my friend, longtime business associate, brother in broadcasting of sorts, Mr. Nick C.J. He lives in Brecon in Eastern Wales in the United Kingdom. He joined me for the show last week. Goodness sakes, time flies, doesn't it? The show last week. He'll be joining me today. In a few minutes, we're going to connect to him by the magical airwaves via the internet. We are still taking your telephone calls. Nick is going to be on the line, but you can speak to both of us, and you can call me right here in the studio. Don't be shy. Pick up the phone. Maybe you have a question about the computer at your home or your office, or perhaps your printer is not printing, your server is not serving you anything other than headaches. That's okay. We are here. We are here to help you. Give me a call. Don't be shy. I don't bite. The number is 740-383-9944. I'd love to hear from you. I'm going to be going to my telecommunications gadgetry and connecting with Nick CJ there in Brecon in Wales and see what Nick has to say. He always has interesting topics to talk about in the computer realm. Want to let you know also that I'm broadcasting a live Facebook video. You can watch me do the show on your phone, your tablet, your computer, however you connect to Facebook. If you're not already a friend of mine, look me up. Look up Adam Lepp in Ohio or Adam the Computer Guy. Let me know that you are a listener to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. And I'd love to have a friendship with you, because that's extremely important. And of course, if you're already a friend, thank you very much for your virtual and in-person friendship. It is appreciated with a capital A. I'm going to go ahead and share the video of me doing the show on our radio station Facebook presence. Of course, if you're not already a fan, please become one. WWGH 107.1 in Marion. Make us one of your favorite business Facebook sites. Bookmark us. Tell your friends about us. And you can not only watch me do this show, but you can stay in touch with us 24/7. Find out about other shows that are on the air, about our other radio personalities, and other tidbits that happen along the great airwaves and along our fine new studio here on Center Street in Marion. Want to thank Deborah and Harry and Mark for watching my live video. Feel free to tune in. Yes, via Facebook if you're already a friend of mine. If not, again, become one or use the radio station's Facebook page. Look at my video. Watch me do the show. It's quite interesting. It just adds to the fun of the entire broadcast. You can also leave a comment on the live video feed. Again, give me a call right now. Happy to talk to you. 740-383-9944. Or, of course, send me an email. As I said, just like Just like certain presidential candidates, we have a private email server, adam@wwgh1071.com. I'd love to hear from you. Let's go ahead and connect with Nick, my British correspondent, and see what he has to say. Talk about IT or whatever else might be on our mind. Nick, are you there? Hello, Nick, are you there? Let's see if Nick is available. Of course, you know, even we IT people sometimes have computer issues that can happen, and we know that these things will occur from time to time. Let's see. Nick, are you there? Hello, Nick, are you there? Hello? Let's see if Nick is available through the power and magic of the internet. Hold on a second. I think I know the problem. Nick, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, great. Go ahead and just talk for a second. Let me go ahead and adjust your level. I apologize for the technical problem.
That's good. No, it shows that it's all live and real.
Okay, well, great. Well, we like when things are live, you know, is it live or is it Memorex? And not really Memorex here. We're just live on the radio. So right there in Brecon and Wales, Nick, it's about 15 minutes after 2 in the PM. Is that correct?
It is, yeah. Great. But I'll still say good morning to you.
That's okay. Well, it's good morning, good afternoon. We broadcast all over the great world that we live in, and so the time may certainly vary. It's been a little cool here for May. I don't really mind it because we didn't have really much of a winter, and last month it was in the 70s and almost the 80s a couple days, and currently it's about maybe 5-6 degrees Celsius. That's low 40s Fahrenheit. How are the atmospheric conditions there in Wales, Nick?
Cool today, probably about the same, between 5 and 8, because we only do Celsius now. For some unknown reason, everybody decided we'd do Frenchish-type temperatures, and we lost our Fahrenheit. I liked Fahrenheit. 80 sounds warm, doesn't it? But 16 doesn't.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Now, in addition to being on this show with me, Nick, you will be on my show next hour, which is called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. It's a new show that we're offering on The Talking Place. And, of course, we talk on that show about anything and everything, not just IT-related topics or topics where computers, IT, what have you, the internet, relate to the world that we live in. Obviously, politics and sports are always big, and the French election, that has been a pretty big news story. Maybe music and movies, what have you. We talked a little bit about the terrain, the culture in your neck of the woods, and even about Ireland versus Northern Ireland. Almost anything is open. We are inviting your telephone calls. Don't worry, me and Nick can both talk to you. We have some fancy technological gadgetry rigged up here at the studio. 740-383-9944. And again, watch my live video or watch it through the radio station Facebook page. Many ways to interact with us. Nick, did you have any interesting topics to start off today's technology conversation? Any technology happenings out there in Europe?
Well, first one that I've seen this morning that really sort of made me think was this Facebook must delete hate postings, which is news today to us. I don't know if you've had that yet over there or if you had it before us, but Facebook have now had to take on 3,000 extra members of staff because they've got to start taking down hate postings and any sort of trolling due to a case that has been heard and it's been found against them. So that's good news, I think. It always seems odd to me that something like Facebook will not show a nipple, but it will show somebody having their head hacked off, which seems odd. You know, the same with YouTube. It's a very strange phenomenon that a nipple can be so offensive, even if it's just feeding a baby. And if it's some sort of violence, they seem to allow those through.
That wouldn't be the breast idea, would it? Pardon that silly pun, but I had to think of something. Yeah, that really wasn't a very, very good joke, but I had to think of something, Nick. I'm sorry, I have to keep my listeners' interest. Of course, I invite you as the valued listener, whether you be in Marion or Delaware or Antarctica. I'm not sure we have listeners in Antarctica, but maybe we do. That'll happen. Anyway, feel free to call us, 740-383-9944, with your questions, comments, concerns, complaints about anything computer-related or anything that might be discussed between Nick and myself or other listeners or callers. Also, any questions or concerns about articles that I have discussed in previous shows, that would be fine. Also, I would certainly love to hear from you. You can also, of course, send an email on our private email server. And, you know, with me being the person who's in charge of the server, maintaining it and fine-tuning it, etc., you know it's going to work fairly well. Adam@wwgh1071.com. So, Nick, we would tend to agree that there is a lot of inconsistency in what Facebook considers offensive or not fit for Facebooking versus what you or I, as adults and users of the electronic media dissemination protocol, what we would think. We would definitely be in accord on that, right? That Facebook really should take a second look or second and third look at what they consider to be appropriate and what isn't appropriate.
Yeah, it looks now they're going to have to take down any hate speech. That will remove a lot of things. The other news here as well is that Facebook was a key influencer in the outcome of the 2016 U.S. presidential election. And it looks like the Donald Trump's Republican Party used Facebook a lot, using targeted adverts, targeted drops into people's Facebook profiles. So that was quite amazing. And last night we had a program on the BBC, and it was entitled "What Does Facebook Know About You?" And they put a stall up in the middle of a city in the UK and invited people to come up and give the guy their login, basically, and friend them. And then he showed them what he could find out about them using their profile on Facebook that they might innocently just let somebody into. And most people were horrified when he said, "And what about this picture?" You know, and showed it to them on an iPad. And they sort of, "Oh my God, I didn't realize everybody could see that." So there's a lot of revelations coming out, I think, about Facebook.
Do you think we're maybe carrying the usage of social media too far, letting it influence our lives so much that it seems like all we care about is what's okay on Facebook or what Mark Zuckerberg and his cronies are going to regulate next? Has it kind of gone too far, or maybe is it at a balance right now? What's your take on that?
As a fairly avid Facebooker, I would like to say that it's about right, but I don't think it is. I think that there is a lot of stuff going on in the background that really ought to be checked. Not necessarily regulated, but people need to be more aware. I'm not a great advocate of regulation, because then that means that you're dictated to by a third party, be it a government or whatever. But I do think that we really do need to start taking a look at what we're actually doing and what we're letting people see. When you consider, just go back to our parents, you know, our young parents when they were young, and how little they knew about other people other than some gossip. And they definitely didn't know about, you know, the background of what a president or a prime minister did until their memoirs were leaked sometime later on. So I am wary of it.
I would definitely agree. We want to use social media. It has been a revelation in promoting businesses like the ones that you and I own. And we, of course, work on many websites and projects together. It's allowed people to reconnect with long-lost classmates, long-lost family members, and former coworkers. I can certainly attest to that. I talk to my relatives, be they in California, Florida, or even here in the Midwest, much more often via Facebook, via replies to their posts or direct messaging more than I would on talking on the phone or texting or visiting F2F, face-to-face, in person, what have you. And it's been great for that and allows me to connect with people like Nick. I mean, we can certainly talk on the phone. The cost to call the UK isn't 1 or 2 cents a minute with the right methods. And that isn't too bad, but, you know, talking via Facebook, Skype, or other electronic internet pure method, so to speak, is usually free, and so can't really beat that. It's obviously important to use any kind of social media the best way possible, not abuse it, and make sure that all rules are followed. Obviously, we're all advocates of free speech, but it can be taken too far, and we have what's called flaming, or just saying things that are stupid that you kind of regret after you click on that post or send button. Any new rumblings about the French election or about our president here in the United States, Nick? Anything going on in your neck of the woods related to that?
We've had some stuff about Trump and some sort of deal that he did with a pharmaceutical company about vaccines, but I didn't actually watch that, so I'm not up on that one. The French election... The big problem for us in the UK is that the guy who's been elected in is anti-Brexit. So he doesn't really want us to leave, whereas Le Pen was pro-leaving, and France would have left as well. It's a difficult topic because it's that whole thing of do you want a united Europe, very like a united States, and... A lot of us don't. A lot of us still want to be north and south, as you used to be in the States.
Right, and we'll talk more about that next hour on the new and temporary radio program called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, which will be on for a few weeks or so, where we'll discuss anything and everything. Nick will be, again, on during part of that show, like he is for this show. You are listening to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, a twice-weekly feature here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio 107.1 on your FM dial and broadcasting online by the power and magic of the internet at WWGH1071.com. One of the best ways to listen electronically would be through TuneIn. You can download the free TuneIn app for your iPhone or Android smartphone after you've done that. And again, it's a free app. It downloads, that it takes more than 45 seconds in most cases. And look for WWGH 107.1. Make it a favorite, bookmark it, click on the heart. And then, if you want to listen, voila, a little finger snap in there for you. Click on the little triangle thingy, as I call it, the play button, and you are connected to our station 24/7, regardless of where your domicile would be. And we appreciate our online listeners and our live listeners and, of course, people listening through the Facebook video. On the phone with me, on the internet phone, let's call it that, is my longtime business associate and brother in broadcasting of sorts, Nick C.J. from Brecon in Eastern Wales. He'll be joining me also next hour, again, on the new and temporary program, Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. Nick, did you hear about the latest phishing scam that affected Gmail users and Google Docs? Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't hear that one.
Well, a phishing scam surfaced last week using Google Docs in an attack against at least 1 million Gmail users. Now, Gmail, of course, is very broadly used, like almost anything that Google or Facebook has. Just about everybody seems to have it. I have a Gmail address, but I personally don't really like Gmail. I don't even really use it, except for testing or for logging into my phone. I use my own private email server, so to speak, for my main business and personal email, but just like everybody, I have a Gmail address. Whether or not it's used all the time is a different matter. Now, this phishing scam affected 1 million Gmail users, and that's only 0.1% of all Gmail users. So less than one in a thousand, but even one person being affected is too many, and we want to be sure that email or any method of electronic communication is secure, and you don't feel like you have to cross your fingers every time you use the service. Now, good thing here, Nick, is that Google shut down this phishing scam within an hour through both automatic and manual procedures. They removed the fake pages and applications and pushed updates through Safe Browsing, Gmail, and other anti-abuse systems. Users did not need to take any action on their own in response to the attack, but those who wanted to review third-party apps connected to their account could do so at the security checkup site. Now, ironically, and we're speaking again via the internet with my longtime business associate, brother in broadcasting of sorts, Nick CJ. Feel free to join the conversation. We'd love to have you as part of our discourse. The number here at the studio is 740-383-9944. Of course, if you're watching my Facebook video, feel free to leave a comment or question, and I'd love to hear from you. We're actually getting a spam call right now. I'm going to go ahead and answer it and have a little bit of fun with this caller. Good morning. You're on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show.
Owner or manager, Better Merchant Services calling you with an important announcement.
And this is my important announcement. You can take your Better Merchant Services, and you know what you can do with them. So I do recommend to all of my fellow small business owners, if you get a spam call like that, don't be afraid to use a word that you wouldn't say in front of a lady or even in front of yourself. And if there is an option to be removed from the calling list, you can try pressing that button, but sometimes it doesn't work. But here on the radio station, I'm having a little bit of fun. Better Merchant Services had better stop calling during my show, and that's about all I have to say. But I get these Better Merchant Services calls at my business also. And again, depending upon my mood, sometimes I just hang up on them. Sometimes I swear at them, and sometimes I just let the call sit there until they hang up on their own. Nick, do you get those spam phone calls at your business? And what do you do when you get one?
Yes, I do, but I've got caller identification, so I can usually tell who they are. Occasionally, if they're international, I know that they're going to be Indian call centers. And I must confess, some people will want to cut me off for doing this. I put on an Indian accent and answer it in an Indian accent.
Well, that's an excellent idea. Let's hear the Indian accent. I'd like to hear that. I bet it sounds really cool.
No. I'm not going to be doing this because you will be thinking I am being racist.
Oh, that's excellent, Nick. Well, we have a little bit of fun here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. And that was very good, Nick. I give that at least a B+. Very, very, very impressive. And I
was going to say about that Gmail thing, it was quite nice that they came clean and told everybody, unlike Yahoo, who managed to wait 2 years until they told everybody. So that was quite good.
So we feel that even though there are security holes in everything, I mean, it's a constant battle. That's the biggest thing we do as IT people, is worry about security. It's good that Gmail is being responsible about it and doing what they can to stop it and hopefully prevent recurrence and help their users recover from the minor inconvenience, the minor blip on the radar, and get back to their lives.
Now, much better, to be honest. Yes.
Yeah. Ironically, this week Google introduced a new anti-phishing security feature to Gmail on Android. Again, as an Android user, you have to pretty much sign in with your Google account because Android and Google are kind of joined at the hip. Generally, it's through a Gmail account. It doesn't really have to be, but I find that to be the easiest way. This new tool, again, an anti-phishing security feature to Gmail on Android, delivers a warning when a user clicks on a suspicious link in an email message, alerting him or her that the site they're trying to visit has been identified as a forgery. Users can back away or continue to the site at their own risk. Now, this week's phishing attack on Gmail, again through Google Docs, was an effective approach to luring users before Google clamped down. People got an email from someone that they knew inviting them to click on a link to collaborate on a Google Doc. Clicking on an Open in Docs link redirected them to a Google OAuth 2.0 page to authorize the Google Docs application. Now, the application was a fake. And that's what this phishing is, P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G. It's a fake website. It might say it's from your bank or even your mom or maybe a dating site somewhere that you might log into, and you think you're going there, but instead they steal your password and who knows whatever else could even infect the computer. So again, be careful out there. If it smells like a rat, it probably is. In this case, the fake Google Docs link stated that Google Docs would like to read, send, delete, and manage the recipient's email and manage their contacts. Those are requests that are common to several applications that use Google as an authentication mechanism. Once the permission was granted, the attacker gained access to the victim's address book, which allowed the attack to go viral swiftly. So this Fisher, P-H-I-S-H-E-R, again, the scammer, the attacker of your, essentially of your computer, is able to access your Google address book and send out very naughty things to people that you correspond with, and that isn't very good. I'd like to thank Phyllis from the west end of the Columbus area, and Adam, not me, another Adam. He called the show a couple weeks ago. Interesting gentleman. He's in the radio business also. He's in South Texas, where it's probably a lot warmer than it is here. Thank you for watching. Again, feel free to call the show. Questions, comments, complaints, suggestions, any insight is always welcome. 740-383-9944. I am electronically communicating here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show with my brother in broadcasting of sorts, my longtime business associate in Wales, United Kingdom, Mr. Nick C.J. So, Nick, having heard about that Gmail phishing scam, do you have any suggestions for our listeners about avoiding these emails and what to do if you receive one?
I think the big thing is to recognize from the title, check that if there's any misspelling or stuff that would be used in the actual description that isn't sort of in your native language, colloquialism that wouldn't be used locally or by one of your friends. If it is one of your friends, 99.9999% chance that they're not stranded in an airport in Bogota and need you to send them £2,000 by wire transfer. So, I mean, and the other one is basically people like your bank and all of the other people that you trade with securely will not send you an email saying that your account has been compromised. Please click on this link to go and check it out. So I think it's most of it is using common sense and resisting. Sorry to carry on. To resisting. A lot of people get drawn in because they think they've won something. They've had their free voucher. And human greed has a big part to play in people clicking on links in emails.
So natural human greed and, of course, curiosity. And we always say curiosity killed the cat. Cats have 9 lives, but curiosity might have been the unfortunate 10th attempt at a life. And that's what they're feeding on. People want to know what the link is. And if you think you want $1 million or you're going to see naked photos of some celebrity, you tend to let your curiosity get the best of you. And in this case, that could have disastrous consequences. Would that kind of sum it up?
Yeah, most definitely. I had a very good friend, somebody who I'd known for a long time, who said that she'd definitely won the. She's Italian, and she was over in the UK from Italy, and she said she was in the process of getting her lottery win. I said, do you do the lottery? She said, no, but this is a random thing that's been drawn on my email address. And I said, no, it's a scam. And she said, no, it's definitely not a scam. I've sent them 500 euros, it would have been, Italian euros, for the courier to send me my, you know,
500,000 euros. And I said, well, why didn't they take it out of the 500,000 if you've won 500,000 euros? She said, no, you're just jealous. And we nearly lost a friendship over it, where she actually thought that I was jealous. And she did apologize afterwards and realized she'd been taken for 500 euros. But her greed overtook her at the time.
Yeah, I guess it's a natural human inclination. And with the immediacy, the ability to see things instantly, the cost of electronic communication, it's generally free. I mean, 30 years ago, me calling the United Kingdom at 9:30 in the morning would cost, who knows what, $2-3 a minute. And those were dollars from 30 years ago. That's like $6 or $7 a minute by 2017 currency standards. But this communication with Nick is not costing me anything except a couple cents in electricity. So, again, the immediacy, the lower, almost zero cost of communicating electronically, and the ability just to pull up a website or an app and get the news, the weather, find a date, things that you couldn't do overnight, has changed the whole spectrum of how we interact as human beings. And the bad guys are taking advantage of that, or trying to, with these phishing emails and other shady operations. Nick, my other brother in broadcasting, Adam from South Texas, again, different Adam, he's in the radio business, and we talked to him on the air a couple weeks ago during the show. He has a question that he posted through the Facebook video. Nick, maybe you can answer the question along with some help from yours truly, as you're certainly an expert in these kind of things. He said, hello, Adam, and I say hello back. I have a question. Maybe you can help me out. How does virtual private networking work? I'm trying to stream three radio stations that are located in Phoenix, Arizona. Their streams are unfortunately blocked, and unfortunately, I'm not able to listen to them via my Windows PC or my MacBook Pro or even my iOS device. I'm not able to listen to them on their apps either. Any suggestions for our other brother in broadcasting, Adam, about that, Nick?
I presume that is the VPN, the virtual private network's IP address is blocked.
Yes, and that happens. Again, it's probably more severe here in the States, but there have been a lot of issues with royalties and geofencing streams that are not able to be broadcast in certain areas, almost like a blackout of a sporting event, where if the game isn't sold out, you can't watch the event on TV in your local city because they want you to see it in person. And it's almost a case where, to avoid paying all these royalties, which have gone through the roof in the last couple of years, that streams are blocked or there are certain ways that you have to access them that may not be overly convenient. And Adam was asking for some ideas on that.
I think the only one would be that he needs to buy some of his own IPs and assign them to his network so that he can actually have stuff that's not in a blocked list.
So you're thinking just have a change in an IP address and allow that as a gateway of sorts to be able to listen to these streams.
Yes, that would be my
okay. Well, thank you for your question, Adam. Hopefully that was of some help. It is a tricky situation, as whenever a station broadcasts online, again, we're a talk station, doesn't apply here, but if they are playing music, which is copyrighted, which pretty much is any of the popular songs, be they oldies or current stuff, they're paying royalties for playing of the copyrighted material. And it's a tricky business, as we want to be able to listen to the stations we enjoy and use the ability that we're presented with when we have TuneIn or Spotify or YouTube or other methods of searching or typing in the title of a song or artist and getting immediate gratification and being able to listen. But there are some strings attached, and we want to be fair to the artists, but sometimes it seems like it makes the whole thing a little more difficult. But hopefully that was a helpful suggestion. Joined here with my longtime colleague, Nick C.J. from Eastern Wales in the United Kingdom, talking about IT matters. Of course, I am broadcasting a live Facebook video. Feel free to watch it, comment, take screenshots, what have you, via my Facebook page. If you're not already a friend of mine, please request my virtual friendship by looking for Adam Lepp in Ohio or Adam the Computer Guy. You can also watch a video through our radio station Facebook page at WWGH 107.1. Nick, Adam had another question for me. How do I change my IP address? Are we talking about maybe ordering a dedicated IP from your provider? That can be anywhere between $5 and $10 a month. Is that the best idea, or any other ideas?
That's what I would have said. A block of IPs, in fact, five or 10 IPs sequential that are known to be clean. As you and I both know, we've had IPs that have got blocked in the past, and we, for our own servers, we usually have a block of IPs purchased when we purchase a server or server space, purely because you want a range for being able to protect them, and if something gets blocked, you can move to another IP.
So what we're suggesting then, to Adam and anybody else with this question, because it's a common thing we hear, is contact your provider, again, Roadrunner or Spectrum being probably the biggest one here in the States, AT&T, regional ones like Cincinnati Bell or WOW, Frontier here in Mid-Ohio, and purchase some additional IP addresses. It's not usually more than a few dollars, maybe as much as $10 a month for that. And that will let you run the VPN and maybe do some of this masking that he's asking about. And if an IP is blocked, again, you can try a different one, because sometimes we see these false positives. An IP is not allowed, so you can switch to a different one. Would that kind of correspond with your answer, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably put a domain name in front of it and then have that domain. I mean, really, you need something very similar to the things that we run for websites, in the fact that if you can put a domain onto a server with a batch of IPs behind that, then if anything goes, and then you use that for your VPN, then you can actually give that out as myradio.com or whatever, and then literally flip the IPs in the background, so that you're giving out another route, basically, if something gets blocked, but you still keep the same web address for doing it.
Right, and IP addresses can be changed pretty easily. I mean, again, through DNS control panels, things that you and I work with almost every day, and we attach them to a certain domain. So, yeah, hopefully, Adam, that was some helpful advice for you. It can be kind of tricky, but there are usually ways around any IT problem, and those are things that we deal with almost every day. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, with my twice-weekly radio show here on The Talking Place. WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial and broadcasting all over the great world that we live in via the power and magic of the internet at our website. Beep, 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 beep. Did I toot my own horn? Well, I did that because I'm the webmaster, web host, and provider of the IP address for our fabulous website at WWGH1071.com, where you can not only find out about me and Scott and Charlie and all of our fine hosts and hostesses, but you can also listen to, on demand, recordings of any and all of our shows from the last 15 months or so. Just click on the appropriate section, show archives, Charlie, Scott, or myself, and listen to previous shows. Sometimes the topic or the special guest is listed. In case of now with Scott Spears, our program manager, he has a penchant for having celebrities and local important people on the show talking about all kinds of fun stuff. And one of his frequent guests is the legendary actress Pat Carroll, who was the voice of Ursula on The Little Mermaid, and she's been on too many TV shows and movies for me to mention. She celebrated her 90th birthday last Friday, and you know, Scott, not one to shy away from being in the spotlight, he went ahead and talked to Pat on the air on her 90th birthday last Friday, and in person, well, at least through the airwaves, wished her a very happy birthday. Nick, are you ever watched The Little Mermaid?
No, my kids are too old for that one, so no, not something I saw personally, no.
But again, Pat Carroll, she's a kind of a voice actor in addition to being someone in movies and TV. So we have all kinds of great guests during the Now program with Scott Spears. It is broadcast Eastern Time today and every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday between approximately 12 p.m. and 2 p.m. Earlier this year, he had on two legendary game show hosts, Monty Hall and Bob Barker. Now, Nick, you're familiar with those two gentlemen, right?
Nope.
Not Bob Barker. Well, Bob Barker was the host of The Price is Right.
And we had our own host over here for that.
Exactly. But again, I guess he's the American host. And Monty Hall, who's from Canada, he was the host of Let's Make a Deal. And Scott has talked to both of those game show hosts. In addition to many other celebrities, Hugh Downs, who's an Ohio native, he's on regularly. So all kinds of great guests. On this program we have Nick, and I think he's pretty interesting. But many celebrities from all over the world are guests on the Now program with Scott Spears, again, to be commencing in approximately 2 hours and 20 minutes here on the talking place. Adam from Texas, again, another brother in broadcasting. He's in the online and radio business in Texas, has thanked me for his help. He really appreciates our advice, and I want to thank you, Nick, because you pretty much gave the gist of what we were telling him.
Thank you. How long have we got? Have we got enough for a couple of seconds?
We have 8 minutes and 24 seconds. I was going to go ahead and talk about a new BlackBerry smartphone, but we can save that for another time, or maybe even next hour. The next hour's show, Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, will include topics of almost any kind, but IT topics are also also fine. What did you want to talk to us about, Nick?
I just found a good one on tech history. The rejecting people who rejected things from the iPod down to Google, the biggest mistakes in tech history. And I got 11 of them I can run through.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that. Funny. Yeah, we like to hear about failures and successes and little quirky things that happen in technology. That's got a broad-ranging interest.
Okay, well, number one was Kodak turned down the digital camera. An engineer presented the idea for a filmless camera to executives in 1975 and was laughed out of the room. In 2012, it declared bankruptcy, having failed to adapt to the digital world. Number two is Yahoo missing out on Google. In Google's early days, Yahoo, then the hottest property on the internet, and I remember Yahoo being very, very big, as you probably do, Adam. They held repeated talks over buying Google, but never quite pulled the trigger. Today, Google is worth $500 billion, and Yahoo is worth $35 billion. Next one is I find quite sad. Ron Wayne, the other Apple founder. We all know about Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak, but Apple had a third co-founder called Ron Wayne. And Wayne sold his 10% stake for $1,500 in 1976. It would be worth $50 billion now. That guy kicked himself. Number four, the Microsoft Zune. Do you remember the Zune?
Just vaguely. I mean, I know Microsoft Bob, their commercial spokesperson, that didn't really go over very well. But the Zune, a little bit. Yeah. Go ahead and tell people about that.
Microsoft's answer to the iPod was released too late in 2006, a couple of months after the iPhone then emerged. So Microsoft lost out on being, you know, the iPod. Microsoft also turned down the iPod as an option. The architect of the iPod was a guy called Tony Fadell, who was offered the idea for his personal music device, and he offered it to Real Networks. They turned it down, and he went to Apple, and Apple took it over. And I remember Real Networks trying to come out with little players, little MP3 players, but it never caught on. Who have we got next? Number six, Steve Jobs leaving Apple. Whether Jobs left, was pushed out, or quit has been disputed, but his departure from Apple in 1985 was a start of a run that brought the company under John Sculley close to its knees in the 1990s, which is odd, and I remember that as well, with Apple nearly dying, and now they're huge because of their small products. Nintendo, abandoned Sony for Philips in the early 1990s. Sony and Nintendo worked together on a modification, but the companies fell out. Nintendo began working with Philips on the doomed CDI, and Sony went on to make the PlayStation. Again, another one that dropped by the wayside because of it. We probably, you remember like me, 12-inch laser discs and things like that died.
I remember those. I remember very well. I thought they were kind of cool because they sort of looked like an LP, but they never really took off, did they?
No. and the Betamax and VHS, because the States was always VHS and we were always Betamax. And the BBC, I know, still use Betamax as their video for recording. Because it offers a better quality. But because the States took on VHS, all of our video shops that hired then took on VHS, and so Betamax died over here. There's Western Union rejecting the telephone was a big mistake. Alexander Graham Bell offered his patents to telegraph company Western Union in 1876. They rejected them, and so he set up the Bell Telephone Company. Eventually bought by good old AT&T that you still have now.
Well, that was very interesting, Nick. We like to hear, of course, quirky news stories, and we'll be discussing some quirky news stories next hour on our new and temporary program, Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. But mistakes or maybe some missteps, miscalculations in the internet and computer business is always one that is certainly of interest. One thing that intrigued me, Nick, was you said when VCRs came out that Betamax, which actually was considered to be a better format, it was the main one there in the UK, but we were more VHS. But it seems like VHS kind of overtook Betamax eventually, Betamax being a little more proprietary since it was, I believe, only worked on Sony devices, and Sony tends to be a little more expensive than the competitors. So with the VHS, you could buy a Panasonic or a Samsung or some other brand, a better price, but the Betamax tapes were smaller, and the quality of the video and the audio was better.
Yeah, I think it's always down to licensing, usually. I mean, if Sony had been a little more generous and chucked out those licenses to the Panasonics and all of those others that you were mentioning, then it would have been taken up, of course. But VHS was a little bit more mainstream, and you could only get the Betamax on Sony. And so because of that, it was their downfall.
I want to thank Patricia for watching my live video. And Patricia, I appreciate your comment. Actually, I do want to apologize. She mentions that we can't hear the second person, which, of course, would be Nick. And that's correct. The way I've rigged this up is that, and this is on the live video, is that you can only hear me. You can see me. I'm going to go ahead and work on some tricks here during the news break. And hopefully, my watchers will be able to hear the other person on the air, which of course is Nick. It won't be quite as loud as myself, but I think the sound quality will be better, and there will be some vocal rumblings for my second guest, and I do apologize, and I'm still trying to work on the best setup, but that's an idea that I've had up my sleeve. Nick from the UK, Nick CJ from Eastern Wales in Brecon, is joining me for this show, and we're going to wrap up in about 65 seconds or so. I want to thank you, Nick, for your great insight, for answering the information about VPNs, about discussing some of the technology guffaws and in the last few years, as well as some suggestions for our users about keeping away from phishing and other scams and other things that are not exactly good, to put it mildly. Nick and I are going to take a quick break. I think I'll get some coffee and whatever else I'm up to. Be back in about 13-14 minutes with the second hour of the Adam Lep Tuesday Morning Experience. This was the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. The next show is called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. Nick, again, thank you for joining me. We'll connect again in about 10 minutes and talk more here on WWGH, the talking place, broadcasting, of course, over the air at 107.1 on your FM dial, and on our website at WWGH1071.com. Adam the Computer Guy.
You're listening to WWGH Radio